What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
I was braced for the usual big...
I like to keep you on your toes.
Big intro, like, and then you came in...
The problem is, under. We have a hack right now doing off-camera producing. You know what I mean? The point, this is what he gave me. It's as bad as Joey Noel. Joey Noel literally do this. So flick a finger. I can't. I need a big motion. You know what I mean?
Oh, so I need a big motion. You were feeding off Nick's energy.
Exactly. Nick gives me nothing. That's what he gets back. You know what I mean? I got to come in. I got to walk into it.
It's all Nick's fault. I understand.
Gary, let's address the elephant in the room. Last week made the decision that when we're on the show together on Witta Wednesdays for the rest of December, we are in fact wearing Christmas sweaters. Oh, I'm sorry. Nick's passing me something. It's a piece of paper with the letter F and the letter U on it. We would wear Christmas sweaters.
Yes.
What we didn't clarify is, can we wear the Christmas sweaters on this show when it's just one of us or the other? Is this a just Witta Wednesday thing?
Well, I assume that you would be wearing yours.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing mine.
No. I'm saying, so like when I host without you, can I wear the sweater?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you just did, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. But that's the thing is, I did it and I didn't even think about it. And well, I wanted to make sure I didn't violate our trust.
Forgiveness and permission.
Exactly. I didn't want to violate our trust, Gary.
No, that's, I'm just glad as long, I think the rule is one, the only rule I care about is if one of us is wearing the sweater,
sure,
the other one should be too.
100%.
Because otherwise one, it's
that's Witta Wednesday.
Weird.
We got one more time. We got one more time.
And I've got one more sweater to wear.
Look at you. You thought this through.
Actually, three Christmas sweaters through the month of December, a different one each week. So we're keeping it fresh.
I like
that. But you're sticking with this one.
I have the two.
This is your go-to.
I got the blue PlayStation one and then that red one that's the dog one that you wore last time.
That's what I borrowed from you last
week. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just not prepared. I'm not up on it.
I'm rocking the Mario.
Very nice.
You've got the Sony
PlayStation
classic.
Yeah, we're waiting on Xbox. If you have Christmas sweaters, Xbox, send them over.
You know how each of the major brands has its own color brand identity.
Sure.
Sony identifies with blue.
Sure.
Xbox is green.
Yeah.
And Nintendo is red.
Yeah.
You'd think that Nintendo would have sent you by now some kind of red, Christmassy themed Christmas apparel. So they could get in on this. Because right now they're...
This is the hottest episode every week. This is the one. This is the Games Daily everybody's looking for. What do the Christmas sweaters look like? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it's as much a fashion show.
Game developers, if you're out there, publishers, if you're out there and you have Christmas sweaters, send them in.
Yeah, now's the time.
Yeah, you're running out of time.
You've got basically 1 week left to have your Christmas sweater debuted on the show. One more Witta Wednesday.
One more Witta Wednesday.
And we'll see. Let's see what they come up with.
What have you been playing, Gary?
A lot of Smash Brothers.
Oh, are you good yet?
No, not even close. The biggest, I'm better than I was. We've unlocked, I think we've got about 50 characters.
Oh, that's really good.
Of the 70s. Was it 70-something?
77, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got about 50 of them so far. You know who's good at it?
Who's that?
My wife.
Oh, yeah?
She's actually, most of the characters that we've unlocked.
Well, he's good at everything.
She's been responsible.
Yeah.
And usually when my kid and my wife all play three play, I usually come in last place.
Yeah.
Because my kid's getting pretty good, too.
Sure.
It's at that age now where the student is surpassing the sensei.
Sure.
And it's you got to hand off to the next generation and say, look, I'm old. I'm, you know, it's time
you take
for,
it from here, kid.
It's time for me to become a force ghost.
Yeah.
And hand the mantle of the next generation to you. So I'm slow. I'm old. I'm not as good as I used to be. I was never good at Smash Brothers. I tell you the top trick that I'm trying to learn, which Geddes imparted to me when we did the after party last week, was when you get launched off the stage. The jump, and then up special.
Sure.
To get back on the stage.
Yeah.
I know that's what I've got to do.
Sure. The muscle memory is not there yet, though.
I haven't got it programmed in yet.
Gotcha. It'll come to you.
Let me ask you this. Is it easier with some characters than others to recover?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big
it
time.
Is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I need to do is, because I'm still looking for a main. Right now, I'm liking Little Mac.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Little Mac.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's any good at. What I need to find is a list of characters who
are good at getting back to the stage.
If you're in my situation, you're Achilles' heel. Pretty much, if you're playing me right now, all you need to know is if you can just get me off
push
the stage,
off the
you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna flounder and flounder, and then I'm gonna,
just fall away.
You know, I'm done. So all you gotta do is get me off the stage because my recovery is pathetic. So what I need to try and do is find a short list of the characters because I'll happily.
There are wikis for this.
I haven't settled in on a main yet.
You should have a conversation before you leave today with Tim. I'll talk to Tim.
He can give me some noob recovery characters.
It'll be like you're buying a car. He'll like walk you around. Like, what are you looking for? All right, let me see. How would you feel about being in a Young Link?
What have I gotta do to get you in a new main today?
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week week day on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong where you can correct us on the things we say wrong, like Zyger did when I said 77 characters in Smash with a shrug. He says it's actually 74. That sets the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. We did the Kinda Funny Game Showcase on Saturday. 69 games, all sorts of cool announcements, filmed on location in San Francisco. We're incredibly proud of it. We would mean a lot if you went and watched it and shared it with your friends. Go to kindoffunny.com/showcase. You can see one of the best pieces of content we've ever made. And then holiday schedule. The holidays are upon us. We are here all next week doing Games Daily and, of course, the morning show beforehand. And then starting on December 24th, we're off and won't be back until Friday, January 4th, for the Kinda Funny Day stream, right? Our annual stream where we go crazy and announce all the initiatives for the new year, and you don't want to miss it. Today we're sponsored by 23andMe, Loot Crate, and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
Let me just say, Greg, this is the most without a net I've ever gone in on the show. Usually you hand me the show notes,
yeah,
and I have an opportunity to give them a quick glance.
Sure.
I haven't even looked at them. So as this is coming out, this is all going to be completely new to me. I'm learning it as you say.
And that's something, because usually once you get the notes, I've seen you pour over, you get out the tomes, the encyclopedia to bring yourself.
Oh, that's right.
I
usually come. As you know, preparation is
that's what Gary Wood is all about. You're the man on the street. Three items on the Roper Report. Cool, Greg.
A baker's dozen.
And number one, Gary, is right up your alley. And it's very interesting.
I saw the headline.
You're going to have an interesting take on this.
I'm liking it.
Epic is continuing their fight to let everybody play cross-play games everywhere. And you might say, what does that mean? I'll let Epic tell you themselves. Successfully launching and operating a live online game requires a suite of services that go far beyond the functionality of a traditional game engine. These services are expensive to build, test, and harden in real-world conditions, but once operational, are relatively inexpensive to scale to more games and more users. At Epic, our goal is to help game developers succeed. Throughout 2019, we'll be launching a large set of cross-platform game services originally built for Fortnite and battle-tested with 200 million players across 7 platforms. These services will be free to all developers and will be open to all engines, all platforms, and all stores. As a developer, you're free to choose mix-and-match solutions from Epic and others as you wish. Epic's online services. They have a whole bunch of bullet points of things that are here. I'm going to pull out some of the big ones that mean a lot to us, the more everyman gamer, like the side, the consumer side of the industry. If you're a developer, go to Epic's page. They have a lot more in-depth stuff. But stuff that spoke to me. The service launch will begin with a C SDK encapsulating our online services, together with Unreal Engine and Unity integrations. We'll start with a core set of features and expand over time. Specifically, cross-platform login, friends, presence, profile, and entitlements coming Q2 through Q3 in 2019 to PC, other platforms throughout 2019. This provides the core functionality for persistently recognizing players across multiple sessions and devices, identifying friends, and managing free and paid item entitlements. This will support all 7 major platforms, PC, Mac, iOS, Android, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, to the full extent each platform allows per title. Cross-platform voice comms, this is coming in Q3 2019. Epic is building an all-new in-game voice communication service supporting all platforms, all stores, and all engines, which will be available for free. For developers needing an immediate available voice solution, check out Discord, Vivox, TeamSpeak, and then a couple other ones there. Cross-platform parties and matchmaking coming Q3, Q4 2019 to all platforms. Cross-platform data storage, cloud save games coming Q2 2019. Cross-platform achievements and trophies coming Q3 2019. The services described above are just our first steps. As you can see from our game and engine efforts, we're also working on further support for user-generated content, enhanced social features, anti-cheat, and more. Gary Whitta, do you understand what a big deal this is?
I'm thrilled.
This is what you are the one here every time. When we're talking about cross-platform play, when PlayStation wouldn't do it with Fortnite, then they started doing it with Fortnite, everybody's playing on Fortnite, great. And you were like, that's all well and good. Oh, you're like, oh, I get it. that's all well and good, Gregory. But I wanted on Division, you said. You wanted to play with me Xbox to PlayStation. And I was like, outrageous, Gary. It's impossible, Gary. You know how hard that would be to make all this shit work, Gary. And here Epic is saying, once again, good guy Epic, who they've been throughout 2018. Is that the year we're in? 2018. Saying, we'll give it to you for free. We figured it out. We've tested it. Here you go.
So, I mean, I have many, many thoughts about this, all of which I think are positives. I'm almost a little bit bemused. It almost seems too good to be true, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That they would do all this and do it for free. Like, the one caveat I would say is, like, really? Like, the fact that Fortnite has many, many competitive advantages over its competitors. One of them is the cross-platform play.
Yeah.
The fact that they've cracked that technology and they've got it working seamlessly... really the only true example of it is Fortnite, where, you know, Android, Switch, you name it, everyone's playing together. They've cracked that, and that's a huge competitive advantage that they have.
Yeah.
The fact that they would just give it away to everyone else seems almost kind of crazy, doesn't it?
Again,
I mean, I love it, but, like, yeah, from a business point of view, it's not like Unreal Engine where they take a royalty, where you have to pay them to use the engine. They're not even taking a royalty.
Yeah, I mean, it's Unreal and it's Unity and all this stuff. So, I mean, I think it's an encouragement to get the people to use their platforms. They're saying it'll work on all platforms. They're saying there's all these different things they're going to be able to do with it.
Right.
Like, I think it's just, yet again, another move as Epic continues to be the company that, like, yep, we make whatever bajillion dollars a day on this one game so we can give this stuff. We can give you better code.
Unreal Engine is already a license to print money. I'm just kind of surprised that they're not leveraging Unreal Engine by saying, look, we're adding this. When you license Unreal Engine from us, this is now in that feature set. We're going to give you, you can also make your games fully cross-platform, but you got to use Unreal Engine. They're saying you can do this with Unity, whatever you do, however you're developing, which is crazy.
And I think
I haven't seen anything like this since Jonas Salk.
Give the example.
Do you get the reference?
I should.
Came up with a cure for polio.
Right.
Could have made billions
if
off
he patented
of
it,
but just gave it to the world. He just said, here, take it and cure polio. Yeah,
exactly.
And didn't make a penny off of it.
Yeah.
This is Epic are now at this point the Jonas Salk of video gaming.
And that's a heavy crown to wear. No, I think that is the message they just want to continue to drive home, right, with all their moves, is the fact that they believe in this. They believe in cross-platform play because they know the players believe in cross-platform play. They're seeing the success on Fortnite. Yeah. They're seeing how it is. And I think it was that weird domino when we waited, right, of like, what's PlayStation going to do? And PlayStation blinked. And they said, okay, and we'll put it into beta and we'll do all this stuff. That was all well and good. But now the fact that it's just going to be theoretically plug and play, I'm sure there's way more things under the hood you need to do, need to work on, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But the fact that Epic's like, no, we can make it work for anybody, really puts PlayStation in an awkward situation now.
You know, I'm not a Fortnite player. I don't really care very much about Fortnite. But what I will say is when you create a gaming behemoth like this, one of the things that Epic has done is, how can we create some good out of this? When you said PlayStation blinked, they only blinked because Fortnite is so massive.
So huge, yeah.
And so when you're in a position of strength like that, obviously you're asking yourself, well, how can we leverage this to hoover up as much money as possible, which they're making a very good job of. But also to ask the question, well, how can we pay this forward and have everybody benefit? I've been a big believer. I've had a dream, Greg, a dream for many years.
Preach, gay winner.
We're little Xbox boys and girls and little PlayStation boys and girls and little Nintendo Switch boys and girls can all play together. And the barriers, the artificial and arbitrary barriers that separate me and you, like, again, Division 2, like, we just use Division 2 as an example. We both are going to be excited for that game.
Yeah.
You're going to be on the PlayStation side. I'm going to be on the Xbox side. Never the twain shall meet.
Our hands to the glass, looking at each other.
But that glass is going to shatter now, Greg. Yeah. It's going to shatter.
Well, maybe not for Division 2, but one day for everybody, yeah.
Maybe not for Division 2, but maybe for the next one down the road. And certainly, it sounds like in 2019, this is going to be a reality.
Yeah. It was a crack, right? And just a little bit of water started pouring out of the dam, and now it's about to break.
I was honestly surprised. I remember the last time we talked about cross-platform, I happened to check in on some of the comments after the show.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people were saying, like, hey, I don't really care about cross-platform. Really? You don't care about cross-platform play? I feel like that's one of the big things to care about, is these barriers are insane. It's just the fact that you happen to like PlayStation. I don't really have a preference, but again, when a game like Division 2 comes out, probably the best version is going to be the Xbox One X version, technically.
Just graphically, yeah.
Yeah, just graphically. I like the controller better. Most of my friends, I'm just more comfortable. Like, that's my home. If there has to be one, that's my home system.
Yeah.
I have a PS4 Pro as well, and I love those games. I'm at a point, I think I've said to you before, if somebody said to me, which one system should I get? As much as I have historically preferred Xbox, at this point I would say get a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because it's I think there's just too many advantages to it. But being a kind of a platform agnostic gamer, I've got all the fortunate enough to have all the systems at home and be able to make those choices. But you do have to make a choice. And one of the big, usually when people say, what version should I get? One of the big questions is, or one of the big answers to that question is, get the if it has a multiplayer component, go where your friends are. That answer is going to go away because your friends are going to, it's not going to be irrelevant everywhere. What platform your friends are on. Epic's cross-platform SDK, I guess that's what an SDK, is going to make it possible for us to play no matter where we are.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. And for those people out there going, I don't really care. I think you will care when you see the benefits, when suddenly all your friends that you never really thought about playing with because they're on another platform are suddenly available to you. I think that's going to be wonderful.
That was my thing, I think. When we all jumped onto Fortnite on Switch at launch at E3 and really got into it, and it was, okay, you can play with Xbox players, you can do this. And I was tweeting about, like, all right, this is stupid, PlayStation. Get your shit together. Don't be on the sidelines for this, right?
Yeah.
It was mainly because of I wanted the redemption things I'd already done on my PlayStation account, the skins I already had there, to come over and work with my Switch thing, and less about playing with other people because I was like, I'll just play with where everybody is, right? But then when we started playing, we did run into the things of people were going home and wanting to play on this console, so it wouldn't work with this or that, this, that, and the other. Season 6 came and went. I backed off. Joey kept going. She was crazy. And now Season 7, I've jumped back in. And last night was...
on Switch.
No, now I'm playing on PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay. Because
now it's all fixed. So, like, it was that...
Oh, so all of the stuff that you accumulated on Switch is accessible to you on PlayStation 4?
You can unlink and relink your PlayStation account. I was waiting to do the thing where I'd be able to merge my accounts, which was supposed to be in November, but Epic had to push it because of technical limitations. So I was like, you know, whatever.
That is coming, though.
Exactly. Okay. I had one outfit. I don't care about it. And I just delinked and did the whole thing. But now where I can play on the same account everywhere. So I'm just playing with my Switch account everywhere, which is where I have the lion's share of my stuff.
Right.
But I did it over the weekend, sunk everything up. It was super easy, started playing, and then to go into my friends list and have it be, you know, here's your PlayStation this is inside of Fortnite, PlayStation friends. Then you shrink that list to see my Epic friends. And then I called my friend Poe, who's my best friend back in Chicago, and I was like, dude, download this and play with me this week. And last night we played for like 4 hours, and it was just like, even when we play with like Kevin and Joey and Andy, we're actually playing. We're trying to win. We're, you know, doing the thing, blah, blah. But like to jump in with somebody last night and be like, cool, there's not a shot we're going to win. You have no idea how to play. I'm not even that great at it. You know what I mean? It was this weird thing of, and I know this is such a common occurrence for every other gamer who plays online and does all this stuff. This for me and Poe was the first time really since I've moved away that we were playing a game together and we were just hanging out like we used to hang out in the basement.
Did you see that thread on Twitter recently? I think it was in this past week about how Fortnite is not so much a game as it is a place.
Yep, totally.
So what you described is exactly that experience.
Exactly, yeah. I forget who wrote that. Yeah, it was a Twitter thread, but I remember.
Yeah, someone on Twitter was talking about how he was watching his kid. He sat in and watched his...
He played with them, right?
Yeah, and with some of his kid friends. It was his own kid and some of their kid's friends were playing, and he was saying they weren't even really they were playing the game, but they weren't saying like, oh, you go over here, build this, or you got, you know, someone's on your
they
six
were just
or
fucking around.
They were just talking. And it becomes the new, like you said, it's the new basement where kids hang out and talk about gossip.
They were playing songs. They were FaceTiming friends.
And, you know, who likes who and like, what's the latest gossip at school? And Fortnite has just become that place, that communal place where kids hang out. Yeah. So it's transcended the experience of the game, and it made me think of it because what you just described is exactly that.
Totally, and it's, again, the power of Fortnite, where when I talk about a mainstream, a casual, whatever you want to call, a gamer who isn't like us that listens or watches these podcasts and cares about everything and is reading IGN every day or Reset Era or whatever, that's Poe. Poe has a PlayStation 4. He plays but he's like playing Black Flag. He's like, you know what I mean? Just happy as a clam playing old
just
games
doing
and
his
do
own
whatever.
Thing, yeah.
And so whenever something comes around where I'm like, dude, I want to play, I'm getting so excited and invested in this game, Destiny 2, or I'm excited for The Division 2. I've bought him those games and given him, but he's a professor and he has a kid. And it's like that thing where he'll try to hit me up, but I'm off doing something, or he'll miss that
it's
week.
Tough to sync
he'll,
up.
He'll miss that week window, right, where I'm all about it, where last night was, yeah, it's free. Just download it. He's like, over the weekend, he's like, it's free. He's like, is it free all the time or is there a special right now? I'm like, no, it's free all the time. And then so last night to jump in and explain everything to him and see him start getting interested in different skins, it was like, damn, this game is magical.
Did you see the other meme that has been going around from Infinity War where it's Doctor Strange and Iron Man talking to each other? and Doctor Strange, it's the thing from the movie where he says, I looked into the future and I went forward in time and saw 14 million different futures.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tony Stark says, in how many of those do our schedules sync up so we can play games together online? He's like, one. And it's true.
Yeah, totally. It sucks. But hey,
but no, it's amazing what Fortnite's become. It used to be like that with World of Warcraft with me. Like, we used to enjoy playing World of Warcraft, but when I was in a guild and I got to know those were my friends.
Sure.
That was my online group of friends. And I was as excited. It's like when you play, a real world example is when you play golf. I suck at golf. I'm terrible about it.
Yeah.
But it's less about playing the golf and more about just hanging out with your buddies. And that's what Fortnite's become.
That before. I've had the DC Universe Online Guild. I've had the kids I played Destiny with, the Friday 13th crew we used to roll, Zaka Joia, what's up? But to have Poe, right, like be able to get into a game with me and actually hang in there and us be at a pretty even playing field, not have me be level 30, I've put 300 hours into everything, and he's like, I'm helping him in weird quests. Like, it was a fun experience. One thing I want to call out that I like a lot, cross-platform achievement and trophies coming Q3 2019. Interesting.
How's that gonna work?
I would assume you pop one on one thing, you log in on the other and pop it there. But more importantly, when does Fortnite leave early access and get real trophies? The battle royale portion. I know Save the World. I want some Fortnite trophies.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Save the World doesn't have trophies, does it? Never pops on. I guess I've never started Save the World, though. I have it there.
So are you suggesting that if I popped a trophy in Fortnite, let's fast forward a year in time and this is all happening.
Yeah.
And I pop a trophy in Fortnite on the PlayStation. If I have the Xbox version as well, is it going to unlock? Are you saying it's going to unlock the equivalent achievement?
I would say that, yeah. When you go to your Xbox and log in, it would look at your profile and ping that trophy or that achievement for you.
But trophies, I mean, I guess obviously they could, hopefully the great superpowers could come together and figure out a way to make this work. But trophies and achievements don't always match up one to one. You know what I mean? But what's the equivalent of like...
Well, most of the time.
It's a different system, right? Xbox doesn't have the equivalent of a platinum trophy.
Yeah. If you get a platinum, you get 1,000 points or whatever. If you've completed everything to do in an Xbox game, you get 1,000 points.
Right. So they could make it work.
Kebab says Save the World mode does have trophies, even a platinum.
I'm imagining that picture. Remember that picture from back in the 90s of President Clinton? And he had like Yasser Arafat. And I think it was like, you know, whoever was the prime minister of Israel at the time.
Yeah.
Coming together, and he was like, I bring the world together. That's epic.
Sure. Yeah,
and
totally.
And that's like Sony and Microsoft and Sega. Sega.
Sega. Sega coming out of its coffin.
Bringing Sega back from the dead. That's
We're doing a Dreamcast 2, everybody. Crazy Taxi launch title. Number two on the Roper Report, the Game Awards killed it this year. This is from their press release. Further cementing gaming's position as the world's leading form of entertainment, the Game Awards today announced that its 2018 broadcast more than doubled its viewership over 26.2 million global live streams, up 128% from 2017's record-setting performance of 11.5 million live streams.
That's a big jump.
Oh, yeah. The Game Awards program became one of Twitch's biggest live streams to date, with over 1.13 million concurrent viewers watching the program on Twitch at its peak, nearly doubling last year's Twitch viewership. In total, peak concurrency for the show is estimated to have reached over 4 million global viewers, including more than double the number of concurrent viewers on YouTube compared to the 2017 broadcast. On social media, the Game Awards was the number one worldwide trend on Twitter for the fourth year in a row, trending faster than ever before. On the Chinese social platform Weibo, Game Awards-related posts achieved more than 56 million views and 310 unique individual postings. Congratulations to Jeff Keighley and the Game Awards. Amazing.
Explain to me the difference between 4 million global viewers. I understand that. 4 million people worldwide watched it.
Uh-huh.
But 26.2 million global live streams. So what does that mean? That everyone watched it like five times or something? What's the difference between 4 million total global viewers?
The Game Awards today announced that its 2018 broadcast more than doubled its viewership to over 26.2 million global live streams.
Peak concurrency.
Peak concurrency, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so 26 million people watched
total.
It, but at its highest peak, 4 million
4
people
million
were watching
it at the same time.
Okay, exactly. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's, why do you think it's growing so fast? I mean, that's a huge jump. It's more than double last year.
I think it's a lot of different reasons, but I think the more you do it, the more people understand it, the more people can get excited for it. And I think Jeff did an amazing job this year of hyping this thing. You know what I mean? Where I think every year Jeff gets better and better at packaging it and promoting it, but this year was like he's been like Jeff. You follow Keely on Twitter, right?
Yeah, of course,
right?
He follows me too.
Oh, no big deal. Well, you know what I mean?
I don't follow people who don't follow me.
My apologies. My apologies. Jeff doesn't tweet all that often normally. Like, he tweets here and there, but not like crazy. Right. And for Game Awards, he really ramped to where he's tweeting a ton, and then like, whatever, a week or two out, he was putting out major announcements, you know, multiple times a day. Really,
is this just what he does now? Do you think like he's already like the morning after he starts working on the next one?
I wouldn't even say he. I would hazard a guess. Jeff was working on it before then. I'm sure he does the tours, right, where he goes around at Pitch Game Awards and get people on board and talk about it. I'm sure that people are like, cool. This is what we can give you this year. Next year, though, we're gonna do X, Y, and Z.
So he probably already knows like what the reveals for 2021 are.
You'd like to
or
think
2019,
so, yeah.
2020.
I mean, he's probably got a plan forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got... No, I mean, he works super hard at it, and he's amazing at it. He does this, and then he does that big E3
live
stream.
Good for Jeff. He built that thing up from nothing, 100%. And it's turned into a... Do you think the Game Awards are, like... For a long time, there was a discussion about the legitimacy of different gaming awards and like what, but what are our Oscars? Like, what's the one that rules over all of them? Do you think it's now the Game Awards? 100%.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think you can. I know people have always said, been arguing that for a while. Like, wow, I mean, why doesn't video games have an Oscars? I believe it is the Game Awards. I believe every year it gets bigger and gets more of a cemented view that yes, this
is
the show.
It is, in terms of it's now the most lavish, biggest, pretty full orchestra, rock bands. You know, it's the one that looks the most like
celebrities
in terms of like in terms of production values. But do you think it is? If you were to ask Corey Barlog, you could win one. You can only win one Game of the Year award this year. Is that the one that he would want to win, or would he maybe want like an AIS award?
Very
like,
interesting.
Which actually at this point confers the most prestige?
Sure.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think that if you went person to person, developer to developer, that answer would change. Audience member to audience member, that would change, right? Because I do think what I host the DICE Awards usually, right?
Right.
We'll see about this year. I host the DICE Awards the last 2 years.
Right.
And what I love about DICE is it's what you're talking about, right? It is, you know, DICE is meant for the higher ups of whatever studio, publisher, developer to be there, and other people to come in and learn stuff. But it's also then they all vote on those awards. So I think to a lot of people, it means a lot to, oh, we won this award, this DICE award from our peers.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas,
it's an academy just like the Motion Picture Academy.
Exactly. Whereas Game Awards is, there's the panel of judges, but there's also audience voted things.
Right.
Whereas there's the GDC Awards, which is open to a larger swatch of the development community. I think there's a whole bunch of different things. But I do think, for me, and maybe it's just me being a consumer and on this side of the industry.
And you
may
be biased as a Game Awards alumnus.
Yeah.
As a winner.
Oh, yeah. As a winner? Come on now. Yeah. And as a judge
winner,
or whatever. No.
Well, of course they're the most prestigious. I mean, I have one.
I think it is just because it's all eyes on that. That's the one that everyone knows. Everyone understands that is the show.
Yeah.
I think that is the show of the year.
Yeah.
And I do think that is the game of the year that matters the most in terms of
from a branding perspective, I think that was very clever. Like, because it used to be, if you remember, it obviously, of course, came out of the ashes of the old Spike VGAs.
Yeah.
The Video Game Awards. And to call them simply the Game Awards is like kind of saying that the emphasis is on the. Like, these are the Game Awards.
Yeah. I think it's true.
From a branding perspective, I think that was very clever on Jeff's
part. And I think that's the thing about it, where Jeff starts this right in 2014. That was the first time outside of Spike does it. And it is, I think at the time, people are like, the Game Awards, like IGN does Game of the Year. There's blah, 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 blah. And I think year after year, he proves why they are the Game Awards and why they are the biggest thing going and why people tune in for it. Because I think every year, more and more people understand what it is.
I think some of it is designed to do that. Like when you get the heads of Microsoft, the heads of Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo all on the stage together, I think that's Jeff's way of saying like, look what only we can look, you know, I don't think only they could do this. DICE could do it. GDC could do it. But like, we choose to do this. And this is our statement of showing like how big a deal we are, that we can get these guys up on stage together.
Yeah. And they are that big of a deal. And I think more power to them. I'm glad that it continues to grow and continues to get bigger. I'd like to win an award when there's this many people watching this time around. You know what I mean?
I know.
I had a great speech in 2015.
It's only a shame you won it back when no one was watching.
Nobody gave a crap back then. Here I am just trying to make a buck.
Well, you know, Denzel's got more than one Oscar. Who's to say that you couldn't come back and be a global gamer, trending gamer again?
Exactly. They ended the trending gamer category. So now I can come in next year. I just got to create better content.
I tell you what, some of it, I was zapping back and forth between the Game Awards and Family Feud, because you know how much I love the Feud.
I hate you so much.
I've got to have the Feud. Some of the category, I think it was Danny O'Dwyer that posted one of the categories, best esports coach, yeah. And it just made me think, like, the tenor of Danny's email or tweet, and I agreed with it, was like, God, I'm so old. Like, what the fuck even is this category?
Yeah, man. But again, that speaks to Jeff future-proofing and trying and doing something different.
Recognizing the trends in gaming,
exactly.
Because if you don't do it, the kids with a Z
who are watching it, man, they're out there.
He's smart enough to recognize that if you don't do those categories, the kids who recognize that's a thing are going to say, "Well, what about esports coach? That's a big deal. Why don't you, like, you guys are behind the times?" But he's there. He's like Gretzky said, you don't skate to where the puck is. You skate to where the puck's going to be.
And I have always said that Jeff Keighley is the Wayne Gretzky.
The Wayne Gretzky of video game industry.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite right, too.
This isn't at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, but I saw it pop up. I want to put it in here. Dan in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. And this is no editorializing. This one's important, obviously. I don't want to see You're Wrong get hijacked by this. Dan writes in and says, speaking of the Game Awards, when the Celeste composer came up to talk, a small number of people in the Kind of Funny chat were being a bit transphobic. I was kind of hoping Kind of Funny's community was above that. ... Dan, of course, as you know, the internet is an open platform that anyone can come and stumble into a chat and say whatever the fuck they want and be assholes of any kind. I can assure you that true members of the Kind of Funny community are not transphobic and have no place in this and understand that. We're a community of best friends, which sometimes gets misinterpreted as, hey, by coming in, everyone's going to be awesome and totally put up with anything I want to say if I'm a douchebag. No, if you remember when we started this whole thing, it was that we don't want assholes in the group. And if you're an asshole, you can leave and we don't want your money or your viewership. We still stand by that in 2018 as the Kind of Funny motto. So you don't have to sit there and think that those people represent the Kind of Funny community. Those people can go to hell. You can believe what you want. You can do whatever you want. You can come in and be an asshole in the chat when somebody's up winning an award. You can fuck right off.
I've always said, Greg, that what the greatest achievement of Kind of Funny is reflected in the best friends and the community that you've built. Like, whenever I go onto a live stream or I check YouTube comments or whatever it might be, jump in, because I jump into the Twitch chat every now and again with on the morning show or whatever it might be, and I hang out. And you go to almost any other channel. Go to Dr. Disrespect. I don't want to name any particular name. You go to Dr. Disrespect's channel. Go to any of the top Twitch streamers. You're going to see a fair amount of shit that you don't want to see if you are a civilized, decent human being. And I don't mean to single out the doc, but you know what I mean? Go to any big Twitch channel.
Sure. Any Twitch channel,
period. And you're going to see a lot of shit. But I would say that you are actually one of the few examples where that's not... every now and again, you might see the one person that needs a banhammer.
Yeah.
But for the most part, and to a greater degree than almost any other community out there, you have built and fostered and encouraged... I remember when Colin Campbell was at... I sort of met him at Kind of Funny Prom. He was writing that profile on
you.
I said one thing that, you know, from one journalist to another, or one ex-journalist to a current journalist, make sure you talk about how Greg built this incredible... His greatest achievement was building this really positive community. Like, you just don't see that kind of shit. That's why I'm generally kind of surprised when you talk about the transphobic comments. I'm like, really? From Kind of Funny? That seems really...
But I mean, it's not from us. That's the thing, right? No, like, anybody can come through the front door.
From the community, it seems, like I said, even though something like that is always going to slip in at some point or another, it's still to a far lesser degree than you would... I guarantee you that that was to a lesser degree than on 20 other channels you could have watched.
Of course.
And I think that's testament to the positivity that you guys generate here.
And it's a testament to our mods. Like, I see Zyger in here saying, hey, like, he's trying to defend the mods. You don't need to defend the mods at all, Zyger. You guys kill it. But he points out, of course, if there's a couple thousand people in the chat, it's hard to keep... Of course it is. No one's putting that on you. I'm just saying that I think you can go to any Twitch channel and find an asshole in the chat. That doesn't represent that community. So to Dan's point, I was hoping the Kind of Funny chat would be above that or something to that effect. Like, sadly, you can't keep all the assholes out. You can't keep all the trolls out. They're going to come in. They're going to do stuff. What we do is ban them and ignore them. And that's what I always say, too. Remember, right, guys? Like, you don't need to sink to their level. You don't need to argue with them. You don't need to get into the mud with them. Mute them and move on. I see so many people go into my Twitter mentions and start fighting with people who are trying to be assholes to me.
Block.
Those people are usually muted. I don't even know what they said to me. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. Keep moving.
On Twitter, you know, again, I'm very lucky. I don't really put out a lot of shit, so I don't get a lot of shit back. I'm very fortunate that the people that follow me on Twitter are generally very positive. Every now and again that someone comes at me, I always say, if you want to come at me on Twitter or on social media, you get one shot before you are ethered for all time. You will be blocked. You'll be forgotten about instantly. So if you want to get one shot and make it a good one, because that's the only one you're going to get, I have a hair trigger block. If you even vaguely irritate me, you're gone forever. So, you know, come correct. That's all.
Come original,
yeah.
I think.
And come original
said.
As well. Yeah. Every now and then you can take a shot at me if I say like, "All right, you're a dick, but that was pretty good." You might, all right, I'm gonna give you credit for that.
I'll let you hang out.
I'll let you hang out because that was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
that was a good shot. You might survive, but if you come at me with like, "Oh, After Earth sucked," believe me, I know.
You think, I don't know. Really, I know, sir.
You really think you're the first person to point that? I was wandering along in my little reality distortion bubble until someone pointed out. Oh, really?
Right,
yeah. Oh my God, I had no idea. You fucking genius.
Let's move on.
Anyway,
kind of
on.
Funny as a community of best friends. We
Game
love
Awards.
Everybody. Awesome.
I love we go on these tangents, Greg.
What's about, man?
We go off the beaten path.
We get to have fun. It's a conversational podcast. Number three, ZeniMax and Facebook have settled their VR lawsuit. This statement comes from ZeniMax. ZeniMax Media Incorporated announced today that it had agreed to settle the litigation it brought against Facebook, Oculus, and others for the unlawful misappropriation of its breakthrough VR technology that ZeniMax had developed. The case was tried in the Federal District Court in Dallas in January 2017, resulting in a jury verdict in favor of ZeniMax for $500 million and other relief. Subsequently, the district court reduced the damage awarded to $250 million, and the parties appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. The appeal was pending when the settlement was reached with Facebook. The terms, of the settlement are confidential. Robert Altman, ZeniMax chairman and CEO, made the following statement regarding the resolution of the case. Quote, "We are pleased that a settlement has been reached and are fully satisfied by the outcome. While we dislike litigation, we will always vigorously defend against any infringement or misappropriation of our intellectual property by third parties." End quote.
Isn't it strange to reach a settlement after a jury verdict? Usually you get to a settlement to avoid getting to the point where a verdict happens.
Yeah.
But you settled after the verdict.
Well, they went to this appeals, and I'm sure then appeals is going to go on and on
right,
and on.
Right, right, right.
And they're just like, just give us the money.
So
just
they probably the ended up with something between 250 and half a million. 250.
I would think
million
lower than 250, don't you think?
Well, no, not if the jury verdict is already... Well, I guess it's possible that it could...
Subsequently, the district court reduced the damage to 250.
So they were going to go to the appeals court, and Oculus and Facebook were going to say, no, it should be less. ZeniMax were going to say, no, it should be more.
Yeah.
Who knows? But they probably said, let's just get this out of the way, and we'll give you, say, $200 million, $300 million. Let's get on with it. Do we know exactly what the technology was?
Back in the day, I did, but now I don't remember. This has been a story that's just been dragging on forever. There's finally an end point to it, so I thought I'd throw it in there. I didn't think you'd grill me. Kindoffunny.com/wrong. You're welcome to try to explain to me what lens they stole or whatever.
Another
cool,
slow,
are you
another
still drinking the OJ
day.
From Saturday?
Yeah, because OJ
go
back.
I mean, was it in the fridge? Then you're fine.
But it's like out of the McDonald's tap. It's not like it's coming. I guess carton would be the same.
It's just refrigerated.
All right, cool. Just making sure, everybody. Just making sure. I'm trying to protect you. I'm just looking out for you. Just making sure. I just wanted a thing. All right. Sorry. My apologies, everybody. Gary, I'm excited to find out what technology this was all about because I don't really know. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Somebody's going to explain it. But that answer is still incoming and so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host, that's you and me, each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, this is one game, not two. Doom and Destiny is on Xbox One. You are not getting a bundle of Doom and Destiny. It is a game called Doom and Destiny on Xbox One. Kingdom 2 Crowns comes to PlayStation 4. Richie's Plank Experience comes to PlayStation 4.
Oh, I'm a big
4.
Fan of Richie's Plank Experience.
I can't
experience.
Wait to see what...
Have you tried it?
Oh, no,
that's
I haven't yet.
We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay, great. Supercell's Brawl Stars is now available on the App Store and Google Play. Elite Dangerous Beyond Chapter 4 is now available. Insurgency Sandstorm is on PC. Battle J is closed beta is live.
Could that be Batalj?
It could be.
Or Batal J.
Realm Royale also enters closed beta on Xbox One with the launch of its Founders Pack today. Kebab says, and you're wrong, the VR tech was company secrets. Apparently that's all we know, unless Capitalist Pig has more insight.
So Richie's Plank Experience has been around on the Oculus Rift.
Is this a real conversation we're about to have?
No,
I thought this was a joke.
No, I'm just going to fill you in real quick.
Is this real? You know what this game is?
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely.
Can't tell
it's
if you're
real.
Pulling my leg.
So Richie's Plank Experience is obviously real. It's on your list.
Uh-huh.
It says PS4. Technically, it should say PSVR.
Okay.
Because it is a VR experience.
Okay.
So it's been on the Rift. It's one of those games that's been on Rift and Vive for a while, and now
sure.
It's coming to PSVR.
Sure.
It's a very simple experience, but it's one of those things where if you want to show somebody VR for the first time, this is one of the things that you put them in.
Okay.
There's, you know, they're always like, what are the, like, you put them on the roller coaster type experience
yeah.
or whatever, or
Batman.
You know, Batman, super hot, you know, there's different things out there that you show people. Beat Saber is, oh, my
fuck
wife,
yeah.
She's loving Beat Saber,
so
by
good.
The way. So much fun. Richie's Plank Experience basically is, it's kind of an urban cityscape, and you are in an elevator, and you take the elevator to the top of a very, 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 very tall building.
Okay.
At the top of which there is a plank
that
goes out over the edge of the building.
Yeah, yeah.
And you walk out on the, it is all in VR, and you walk out on the plank. And you kind of like, you know, you look down and you look, there's a couple of little mini games built into as well. But it's essentially one of those VR experiences meant to induce vertigo and give you that sense of like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm going
to feel like
myself.
I'm up really high.
Yeah.
And it's one of the, it's one of those experiences that kind of, it does, it crosses that reality brain barrier where for even though.
So what's the game part of it then?
Well, there's
is it just an experience? I guess the experience is in the title.
Yeah. So the main experience is really just like the sense of vertigo and the sense of height inducing that it gives you. There's a thing where you can like fly around on a rocket pack and. There's a couple of game modes, but the main experience. I'd be interested to know how they've priced this because it was. I think it was a free download.
I'm interested to see if there's a platinum trophy.
Of course you are. So you walk out on the plank, and it's one of those things where even though you know that in reality you're standing in your living room or your office or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're very, very nervous about not taking your feet off of the plank because you feel like your brain feels like you're really, really up high.
Okay,
and it's just one of those things where. You get a sense of vertigo. You get a sense of, oh, shit, I don't like... If you don't like heights...
I don't think I can walk on a plank.
And then, depending on how you've set the toggle, it will sometimes drop the plank out from under you and make you fall. And you have that moment of like, ah! And then you wake up from the dream. Like you pull the VR headset off. Oh, my God, I'm
you're
so
like
glad
all sweaty.
I wasn't,
like,
really I wasn't really falling to my death. Really, really fun. It is real. Like I said, when people come over to try VR, Richie's Plank Experience is one of the things that we give them to try.
Okay.
Unless they really, really, really don't like heights, in which case I wouldn't put you in it because it does... It very convincingly convinces you that you're actually like way, way high up. Again, even though you know that you're surrounded by solid floor and everything's fine, your brain is sufficiently tricked by the VR... experience into thinking, oh shit, like what if I fall off this plank?
Weird.
So I'm a big fan of it. I enjoyed it.
Highly recommended Gary Whittingham. New dates for you. All right. Origami on Switch is coming February 22nd, 2019. Origami with an A. Omega Strike is coming to Switch on the 24th of December. Big Crown Showdown comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this Friday. Nintendo Switch in early January. Vermintide 2 Back to Uber Shrek. Is coming out on the consoles on December 18th. R-Type Dimensions EX, which we keep talking about on different platforms, is coming to the PlayStation 4 on December 19th. And then Hellfront Honeymoon comes to PlayStation 4 December 19th.
R-Type Dimensions EX I still need to pick up for Switch. But
well, now you can buy it here.
Well, interesting to know there's a PlayStation version. We can get some trophies.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying. It sounds like it's going to be... I bet that's a tough platinum, though.
What do you think Hellfront Honeymoon is? That sounds like an interesting
title. It's a multiplayer bullet hell kind of thing where you're all running frantic, like button mashing. Now, bullet hell might not be the right name, but it's a multiplayer. Like, it kind of looks like At Sundown, but you're not hidden. Like, you're all running around kind of top down shooting shit. I saw the trailer this morning.
Like a kind of Smash TV kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess. Cool, Greg. Throw up the Hellfront Honeymoon trailer for me.
There's something about the juxtaposition of the words Hellfront and Honeymoon.
That's what they're doing, you know what I mean? Cool Greg does that, I'm running you through some deals of the day. On Amazon right now, you can get Tetris Effect on PlayStation 4 for $20. Good deal.
Or we could look at Emo Font Generator.
PlayStation Store's holiday sale is also happening right now. There are 5 weeks of saving. Right now, you can get week one deals that include all the Batman games and a bunch of other cool stuff. Hellfront Honeymoon, PlayStation 4.
Tetris Effect is $20 on Amazon?
$20 on Amazon.
Go, if you have a PlayStation 4 and you've got $20 burning a hole in your wallet, go get Tetris Effect. Oh my goodness. What a deal.
Zaire and You're Wrong says that the Stardew Valley multiplayer is out on Switch today. Joey is happy, I assume. I assume so as well.
Here's the launch trailer for Hellfront
Honeymoon. Here we go. So yeah, cool guy. You can show the people if they're watching this. We're watching off the PlayStation blog over here. PlayStation Europe blog. But see, yeah, like running around shooting
all
this
stuff. Smash TV.
Yeah.
Look at those people having a good time. Recipe for a nice evening.
It cut away
quick,
but was that Jesse Cox? It looked like Jesse Cox. They're eating some snacks.
Oh, it's one of those comedy trailers.
Yeah, of course. You got. I mean, how are you going to make your indie game stand out, you know?
You know what I really enjoyed? I really like that golf, that kind of battle golf trailer for you on
Stickman Golf.
The showcase was great.
Yeah. That's the completionist, yeah, and I think Jesse Cox in there.
Everyone's been sent home in shame because they didn't win.
Completionist, look at him.
I like this guy.
He's been on Kind of Funny Games. Good dude.
All right. It looks like a fun game.
Ignacio Rojas has one more deal of the day. He says deals of the day. Lego DC Supervillain starring Greg Miller is 50% off as part of Steam's Lego sale. PlayStation currently has the holiday sale going, and some other notable discounts, Greg, are the Gravity Rush Remastered and Gravity Rush 2 on sale for $8.99 and $11.99 with PlayStation Plus. Wipeout Omega Collection is $5.99. Hitman 2 is a 50% discount, and these are all via Wario 64.
Wario 64 really does do sterling work.
God's work out there. You know what I mean?
Then, what would we do without it? How would we know where all these deals are? Well, I guess you'd go to Fat Wallet or something, but even so,
I'm not going to
cheap ass gamer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sticking with Wario 64, all right?
Just follow Wario 64 and he will filter all this stuff for you.
Somebody who was in the Kind of Funny Game Showcase. Thank you, Wario. Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First, it's 23andMe. Now, through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale and make a great Christmas gift. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family's story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. 23andMe's health and ancestry service includes 90 plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. And it's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample, and your personal 23andMe account gets all the details in a few weeks, and you see your online reports and everything's there. We've already talked about how white I am and how Irish I am, but I was looking through it today with Nick during the morning show. There's a bunch of other tests in there that'll talk about like your muscle composition. Like,
yeah.
I have the muscles, or I'm prone to having the muscles of an elite athlete. No big deal. You know what I mean?
And it'll tell you weird things like if you're prone to not like cilantro.
Cilantro test and all that jazz. Yeah. So what it's cool about is it's a conversation piece. Gia gave it to her folks for the same reason. I was like, do this and then it's fun to talk about something.
I actually need to check back in with mine because I did it ages ago. But what happens is they update new information to it, the ancestry side.
I didn't know
like
that.
Like you've got new relatives and things like that all the time. I just go check in my account.
What if we were like brothers? Wouldn't that be cool?
It would make a lot of sense to me. Yeah. It would explain a lot.
Now through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. Up next is Loot Crate. But more importantly, Loot Gaming. You've heard us talk about it. I drink out of this Foxhound mug that I got from Loot Gaming that Nick tried to steal from me, but I stole back. Loot Gaming is a monthly subscription box delivered to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates everything and designs themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. This month's theme, well, Earth is secure. It's time to take the fight off-world. Take on alien invaders with gear from Halo, Gears of War, Mass Effect, and Galaga. You like Galaga?
I do like Galaga.
I like Galaga a lot. You get a t-shirt in every crate and more than $60 of value in every crate for less than $29 a month. This crate will sell out. You must order this week to guarantee yours. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company. Geek out in style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription.
I actually have a Loot Crate at home that came yesterday. I still have to open.
You should have unboxed it here.
Well, no, my kid likes to open them.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I do it with her.
Lootcrate.com/games. Enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. And finally, it's MeUndies. Have you finished your holiday shopping yet? No worries. You can get everything you need for you and your loved ones at MeUndies.com. We talk about MeUndies all the time. They're the only underwear I wear, and now they're the only lounge pants I wear. I have these green ones that I wear at home every night, and then we have onesies, Jen and I, that are also super comfortable that we need to wear for special occasions. Very excited for Christmas morning to put this on.
Yeah, onesie is perfect for Christmas morning.
Exactly, yeah. Have a cup of tea, do all that stuff. MeUndies uses that coveted micromodal fabric, was 3 times softer than cotton. I can attest, it is amazing. If you get the underwear, there are 4 different cuts for you to try. And like I said, there's all sorts of stocking stuffers now with the lounge pants, the onesies, and everything else. It's perfect for Christmas morning. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners, for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Order by the 16th of December for your free shipping in time for Christmas. Crunch for time? You can't go wrong with a MeUndies gift card. This is a no-brainer. Get 15% off the pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever own. Get your 15% off and your first pair. Get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction. Guaranteed. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. Aku writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, greetings, KFGD hosts and Goody Morgan from the Netherlands. Early next year, 2 games will fight for the attention of gamers in the ever-growing shared world loot shooter genre, Anthem and The Division 2. Do you think these games will have learned from the launches of similar games in the past, or will they make the same mistakes? From what I've seen of Anthem, the gameplay looks awesome, but I get the feeling it will be very light on content, parentheses, which is what these type of games really need to keep the player base engaged. I've not seen much of The Division 2, but from all the moves Ubisoft has been making in the last year, with even single-player games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, they seem to get it. What are your expectations for these two games? Do you think they'll get it right, or will The Division 2 end up like Destiny 2 and Anthem like vanilla Destiny? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Keep up the awesomeness.
Cool.
Gary, what's your prediction for Anthem and Division 2?
Well, I have a lot of confidence for Division 2 because it's building on a very stable foundation, right? Mm-hmm. The Division was great, and they've been building it out ever since. And I think that I remember thinking, like, is Division a big enough game that it's going to get a sequel? It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I jumped back into it recently and noticed that they have changed a lot and added a lot.
Added so much.
It's been evolving with the player base and the play. You don't hear a lot of dissent. You don't hear a lot about dissatisfied. I mean, there's always some, but you don't hear a lot about dissatisfied Division players. They generally have been happy. Compare that to something like Destiny, where all you ever hear about is how people are unhappy all the time.
Well, that was the thing about The Division, is that as a big fan of myself, somebody who platinum and put a lot of hours into it, but, you know, moved on to other stuff, I still follow the Division subreddit. And for a while, there was like people upset about stuff. And then they put out the big update.
Yeah.
And so many people are like, this is a different game. This fixes everything. Thank you so much. And it seems like they've been riding that ever since.
Isn't it funny how that seems to be so often the case? Because it happened a lot with Destiny 1 and now with Destiny 2. Destiny Taken King and Destiny 2, I think, was it Forsaken was the one where finally people went, oh, okay, now it's not shit.
Yeah.
And it usually takes a couple of big expansions to get the game to the point where it actually delivers on the promise of the original game.
And this is my thing. As a Division fan, as somebody who liked that at launch, and then I think a year after I got back into it to platinum it, I am maybe even naively confident in The Division 2. I played at E3. I watched the presentation. I hosted the Coliseum stage with the developers.
Yeah.
And they said all the right things. They talked about the game, like what I want out of that game. It played the way I want that game to play.
What would be naive about your confidence, though? Because like I said, they're building on it. Like, The Division is very mature, very stable platform. People seem happy with it.
Yep.
Division 2 is going to build on that. I'd be more worried about Anthem. As much as I have faith in BioWare as a developer, this is them trying something new for the first time in an area which has... historically had a lot of pitfalls.
Me being naive about it just comes from the traditional show don't tell. At Destiny 2, we went to that review event and everybody was like, oh my God, Destiny 2 is going to be perfect. And then everybody burned through Destiny and was like, I don't want to come back.
That's a good point, because Destiny 1 was a fairly stable platform by the time they launched Destiny 2. Destiny 2 still fell on its face.
Different kind of game, and I'm not shitting on BioWare as we're talking about BioWare, but Mass Effect Andromeda. I went to the Mass Effect Andromeda preview event and played the first 2 hours of that game and left, and I was like, holy shit, it looked great. It was interesting. I can't wait. And then you got it. You're like,
probably
oh my God, this is a lot different.
Probably the greatest gaming disappointment of my lifetime was Mass Effect Andromeda. Because you know what I want now more than anything else? I would love a Mass Effect trilogy remastered. That's all I want. It's just a remastered trilogy. I would play through that, particularly Mass Effect 2, which is probably in my all-time top five favorite games. I would play that. And I even like Mass, even with the problems of the ending, I love Mass Effect 3 as well. I just love that world. Love the Normandy. I love all the races. I just love all the world building, the mythology, the lore. I read every Codex entry. I really loved it. And I was so excited for the next Mass Effect game, next generation game. And look what happened.
And so when I say it's my naivete, maybe, is just the fact that I think for all games, period, it needs to be a show don't tell kind of thing, right? Of like, even Fallout 76 has a great E3 thing where a lot of people are like, this game looks great. And I'm like, I don't know if it's for me. I wasn't sitting there like, I don't know if it's going to work, if it's going to be broken as fuck. Like, that wasn't what it is. People, we all get so hype that I think we give people too much rope sometimes.
Yeah.
And so that's my thing, is like, I can't fucking wait for The Division 2. We have a question coming up about what do you want to play this break? I want to kickstart The Division and start getting some of the skulls and screw around and like start getting my chops up and get back in that world. But like, they haven't really, outside of the E3 stuff, they haven't, and what they've said, I haven't seen why I need to be playing this game, why I love it. I'm just giving them, I love what they did with the first one. I do agree with Aku that like, yeah, Ubisoft gets, I feel, what makes a world work, but so did Activision, so did, you know, so did Bungie, so did Destiny. Like, you don't know what these games are going to be till you get them. Anthem for me has always been the one that I'm lukewarm on, not because I don't think it looks good, just because I don't know if that world looks like a world I want to spend 100 hours in. Like, it looks a little like it looks like some kind of mashup of like the Iron Man tech, but mashed up with like living in caves and stuff. And I'm like,
so much of it is to do with the myth. For me, I know a lot of players don't care about this, but I really do care about the mythology and the lore. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I never connected with Destiny is I felt it just felt like a lot of proper nouns to me.
Sure.
And it just felt like they overcooked It's like, can you smell something burning? Oh shit, we left the mythology in the oven way too long and now it's all burnt to shit. That is kind of what the Destiny mythology felt like to me.
Yeah.
Whereas I love the Division mythology, the idea of kind of, it's modern day.
The dollar plague. Yeah.
The dollar plague. And it just felt like, obviously not in real life, but as a video game, it was a world that I wanted to spend time in. And I was fascinated by it. It felt real. It felt gritty. It felt grounded.
And I'm the exact same way, right?
I love that Tom Clancy, that whole area. I just love it.
I love being able to connect to a world. And that's why I always joke around about not liking Space, because it's just made up names and characters.
Right.
Whereas, the Division being set in New York, Division 2 being set in D.C.
You can get it.
I get this. I know this place. I lived in D.C., right? Like, I'm going to be able to pick up on this and go hunt around and do stuff.
Right.
So that's where I am with it. But I think both games still have a lot to prove, and I expect as soon as we come back into the new year and like the hullabaloo about game of the year and the big launches and all that jazz is over, that's when everybody ramps up.
I mean, I'm 100% pre-order in already with Division 2. Anthem, I'll wait and see. And again, that's partly because I know that I'm already invested in the mythology of Division 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthem is something totally new. I don't quite know what this is. Is it Titanfall? Is it Halo? What is it? I don't know. It feels a bit Destiny-esque to me. A lot of proper nouns that I don't care about. You've got to sell me on that mythology. But also the fact that, again, Division 2 is launching off the back of a very stable platform. BioWare are coming off the back of a big misfire. Now, they're allowed to have one misfire. They've made so many great games. BioWare is still one of the developers that anything they do, you sit up and pay attention.
Sure.
Oh, BioWare's doing it? Oh, shit, we better listen. But they are launching into a very, 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 very tricky genre.
Yeah.
This is one prediction that I can confidently make about both Anthem and Division 2 is that they will, and I would stake my reputation such as it is, I would stake my reputation on this, they will both launch in a bit of a broken state. They just will be. They'll be a bit broken.
It would be way more newsworthy if they launch and it's perfect.
They'll have stability issues. I'm talking about both of them here. They'll have stability issues. They'll have balancing issues.
Yeah.
They'll have community. They'll all kind of, because the nature of these games is a kind of an open world that only truly becomes complete once you let 1 million+ players into it.
Yeah.
Is that you just don't know.
No.
You can beta test it and alpha testing. You can do all the open betas, public betas, do all this kind of shit. You can do everything you can, but you just don't know.
Ways to game the system. Yeah. You just don't know
until the day you actually open the gates and let everyone in what's going to happen. So there's going to be a lot of unhappy campers out of the gate, because it's just, and that's not to say anything bad about The Division or BioWare or Anthem or Ubisoft. It's just the nature of the beast with these games. They cannot be complete at launch. They just can't be. The final stage of development will only occur after the game is launched, which is a weird thing to say.
Well, then it's constant development from there on out, right?
Yeah.
That's how these games of service works, is that you get a player base in and you start to learn what they want and how to make the game for them and how to do it. And I think that is one of the things where, Division, like I talked about, had this giant update. Not this year, I think it was last year. But it was like, hey, we're answering the things we've learned. This is what our community's been wanting since they beat the main story, right?
And it's a weird thing to think about, but if you look at the history of other games like this, whether it be Destiny or whether it be Division or other games that have been in that space, one other prediction I'd be fairly confident in making is that a year after they launch, Anthem and Division 2 will be
drastically
unrecognizable from what they launched as.
Yeah, 100%.
Happens every time.
It's exciting. I can't wait for Division 2.
I know, I love it.
Gary, just
come with the crossplay.
It's not going to happen. There's not going to be crossplay. Come play it on PlayStation.
But I want to play with you, Greg.
I know. Come play on PlayStation.
Why don't you come to Xbox?
No, because I got trophies. You know that matters to me. You say it doesn't matter to you. What are you going to play with Will Smith for a night? Come play with me.
All right. Okay.
Tested Will Smith, not Will Smith the actor.
You don't know who I might be playing with.
I don't, but I assume it's not Will Smith the actor.
You know what they say about assumptions.
Makes an ass out of you and me.
That's right.
Final question comes from Shane. I actually already answered a little bit. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Gary, as we're ramping up for the holiday break, I was just wondering what games you're excited to play during your time off. Personally, a lot of games on my list are receiving winter/Christmas updates to keep the fans in the mood for the season. Are you going back into any of these? Are you going to be working on your backlogs? Let me know. Thanks for reading. Have a great rest of show and break. Shane. Gary, I have a list of things I want to do. It'll be fascinating to see what I actually get through.
What do you want to do?
I want to keep playing Fortnite, and I already am, so that's happening.
Okay.
I started Guac 2 on PS4, and I love it. It's a great game. I feel like I can kind of see the finish. So I got to finish that.
Okay.
Then I'd love to get back. I'd love to go back to Tomb Raider and give that an honest try. Okay, cool. Let's play this one.
Okay.
We just talked about The Division. I'd love to get in The Division, getting that going. I want to platinum Luminous Remastered. I've been working on that. I love Luminous so much. It's hard. It's a hard one.
It's an ambitious list.
I know. That's the problem. And I have 1 week off. I'm not going to get through any of this.
Where are you on Red Dead?
Oh, when online's got some stuff, I'll.
Did you finish the single player campaign?
No, I did not. Okay. No, I just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm the same.
Yeah. Oh, you see. I think there's a lot of us. Yeah. That's. I think that's where I'm at. Different priorities for all
Smash?
That. I want to do Grease or whatever the Devolver game is. No, Smash, I like. I like playing with the guys. When we play here, oh yeah. But when I go home, I don't want to play single player Smash. This is not about.
Well, see, I'm the opposite. See, my guys are at home.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'll play with my wife and kid. We play three player. We have friends come over. Four. We had a couple of good four player. We had some friends come over. And we had four player games.
That's awesome.
Great
yeah.
fun.
Yeah,
and I do genuinely want to get better at it. It's one of those games. I feel like it is one of those games that I enjoy it, even though I'm not very good at it. But I feel like I will enjoy it more if I just get a little bit better at it.
Sure, that's
so
fair.
I'm going to keep
fair.
Trying.
So is that your big holiday?
Smash
ranking?
Will probably be my main one, but I do want to pick. I'm still playing Tetris Effect. For me over the holidays, it's the big epic Red Dead style story experiences are not compatible with how I spend my holidays. I want to spend my holidays around my family, and I don't want to I want to play games that I can play in bite-sized chunks.
See, that's the big thing too, is that I love playing games with Jen. So I need to figure out what game I need to force her to play. I could force her to play a Division maybe, but I don't know. She loved Monster Hunter, so we got that going.
Okay.
If I wanted to, Grimecraft, obsessed with Fallout 76. Jen had shown interest in Fallout 76. I could try to force us into that.
To me, the key is always game. If you want to play games with your spouse or with your family and you want to have fun together, cooperative games you can play on the same screen. So like a Lego game.
Oh, okay.
Or Overcooked. Things like that are always really good fun.
I still need to play
through
Supervillains too.
Yeah.
DC Supervillains.
And you're in it.
I know. I started it. But you know, I don't think Troy Baker plays through everything he's in, so.
No, probably
I'm kind of
not.
On his level, so that's how it is.
Probably not.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Joseph needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Intoxicator, but it's Intoxik8TOR.
Oh, very edgy.
Come on. Shuhei.
I like it.
Shuhei! Intoxicator says, my wife's cousin and I play Blackout every day for a few hours. The only thing is, it isn't just him and myself. We would love to have some kind of funny best friends to squad up with so we can play quads. Listening to mouth breathers and hearing people scream at each other gets annoying fast. We are decent, not great, but practice every day and would love to get some victories with the best friends for a couple hours a night. P.S. We are on the East Coast, the best coast. Well, that doesn't check
isn't
out.
Isn't it West Coast, Best Coast, East Coast, Beast Coast? I thought that's how you did that. He's gone East Coast, Best Coast.
Well, it's because we always say West Coast, Best Coast. And yeah. So like that's what it's all about.
But I thought the retort to that was East Coast, Beast Coast.
I don't know. I never listened to him. I go West Coast, Best Coast, and I hang up. I don't listen to what they're saying on the other end. If you want to play Blackout on PlayStation 4, hit up Joseph. His name is in the YouTube description. Gary? We ask people watching live on kindoffunny.com, or no, twitter.com, twitch.com. Nope, twitch.tv. Fucking you're watching live, go to you'rewrong.com. That's what I'm trying to say. All right? You're wrong. That's where you go. kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. That's the one.
That's the one.
We're just getting out. I hit my head on every branch there, so we're just going.
I don't feel like we were wrong about many things.
Yeah, a lot of editorializing. We had a good handle on it. You missed this, you did this. Well, whatever. I'm not worrying about that. And that's a joke. Bob's, get out of here. Okay.
Huh?
This is, I've mentioned this before when it got announced, but it's out today. Zaire says December NES games for Switch, which includes Wario Woods, Ninja Gaiden, Adventures of Lolo, Dr. Mario SP, and Metroid SP is out today.
What's so, SP?
I do not know. Something switchy, special. I don't know. Whatever. Those games are there if you want them. Nick points out that today is the start of the Winter of Arcade. It goes till December 21st. There's a bunch of games like Ash and Below, Mutant Year Zero, and more in there.
It's a good time. There's always, the holiday period is always a good time for deals.
Zaire says Tetris Effect is sold out on Amazon, but it is $20 on GameStop on the website. Go right now.
Okay, nice tip.
I already announced that date, but it's something. If I said it in another show, I'm not putting it in here. Okay, this is a good one. Easy Peasy says Grizz is published by Devolver, but please mention the actual developer, Nomada Studio. There you go. Did it. There's a new date while we're live from Zaire. The Princess Guide is coming for PlayStation 4 on March 26, 2019 in America, March 29th, 2019 in Europe. Zyger says East Coast, Least Coast.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
There you go. That's all of them.
East Coast, least coast.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Listen to it whenever the hell you want to listen to it as a podcast. A podcast services around the globe, wherever you can get them. Tomorrow's host is Jared with me, and then Friday it's me and Andrea. Until next time, Merry Widow.